Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, May 25th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is 56 degrees with rain, mist, fog, as the forecast says, under a big wet blob on the radar here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Gene Therapy, Edible CRISPR Pills, Viruses, Cures, and WMDs. And we've been outlining the connection points between some of the gut bacteria, some of the CRISPRing technology that Georgie Porgy Church has been spearheading, how they've been able to program living cells to create these things now that they are calling living therapeutics, that we saw over the last 2 days that they are using in plants, insects, and humans. This ties back to the 21st Century Cures Act and how they've opened the door to fast track all kinds of new treatments and cures with a big federal grant that's sprinkle funded out across the universities and hospitals to combat this 21st century threat of global pandemic. Maybe it could be a natural pandemic because, of course, we have antibiotics that are becoming useless against all these new super bacterias that are forming out there. We also have rogue agents that, yes, now have their hands on something like a CRISPR tool because it was democratized, that could create their own pathogen, potentially a little bit of know-how, and attack a country, a population very easily. The fact that our planet is so small now, people can travel, they could set the incubation period, and bang, bioterror attack. We've been waiting for that since 9/11. That was when they started developing all kinds of sensors to put in the cities to determine whether or not there might be some sort of substance, whether it be bacterial, viral, or maybe even incendiaries. We've come a long way now since 2001. You know, we've looked a lot at sensors on computers and how they started giving computers, now imbued with artificial intelligence, senses like humans have: vision, that would be your robot googly eyes with a camera; hearing, that would be the microphone; taste and smell, well, that would be some of your biosensors that can detect out of the ambient environment what type of chemicals potentially are present. Touch is something that is coming with some of these neuroprosthetics that actually connect directly to different areas of the brain so they can be mind controlled. You know, DARPA with their coming brain implants, of course, to cure all kinds of disorders, whether it be mental or physical. But we also have this whole new science, neuroscience, that is accelerating along with this. You know, we've connected the dot to the development of neuroscience, to the Brain Initiative, of course, again, sponsored by the White House. And a lot of the research that is being done in reverse engineering the brain, where they are using a lot of that technology now to teach artificial intelligence how to learn. But we also, now as artificial intelligence is learning and learning all about how our biology works, artificial intelligence is able to listen to things such as our voice using their hearing and decode potentially what might be ailing us biologically or chemically or mentally just by the sound of your voice. Guys, there is really some serious stuff coming in our future. We're going to continue down this line. So CRISPR is now officially a WMD per clapper in February of 2016. They issued an annual worldwide threat assessment report, and CRISPR was on it, though not named by name. But they mentioned gene editing and how easy it would be to create something horrifying. We also found out that 2 weeks ago, the group that is talking about creating the synthetic human genome that would again include George Church. Remember, we also looked at all the different projects that George Church is involved in. He seems to have his grubby little hands in a lot of this crazy stuff that is going on right now. But one of the things that they had been talking about, the scientists were bantering around ideas and all the great, wonderful things that they could do with this genome project, writing project. They proposed projects that could be part of this GP Write project, and part progress report on research that was underway long before the project. Most notably, the construction of 5 out of 16 chromosomes that make up a yeast genome. And they have a line to register in the morning. It was out the door. Standing room only for people who wanted to hear about it, because this is a big deal. One of the things that they have been discussing was potentially creating a plant that could be used as a sensor in the environment and potentially sniff out explosive TNT. They also want to make bacteria that produces pharmaceutical resistance. Pharmaceuticals resistant to viruses that have shut down expensive production lines. And we found out that, yes, they now have a CRISPR pill that might be key in the fight also against antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Most antibiotics work by blocking biological processes. And remember, there again came an edict out of Washington. This was by executive order, where we were going to be battling antibiotic-resistant bacteria as one of our main core tenets. Well, antibiotics work by blocking biological processes that allow bacteria to thrive and multiply. With prolonged low dosage use, however, just like, you know, we're finding in water supplies and in meats and livestock, they've been utilizing antibiotics more frequently than is required. They use it as a prophylaxis versus a cure to a disorder. And because of that, they're saying we have developed now a resistance. It makes sense. I mean, bacteria is smart. It evolves. And just like insects, when you try to kill them over and over again, eventually there are going to be a few that tend to survive. And those few will then reproduce with the new resistance to whatever you're trying to kill it with. I mean, that's just kind of how nature works. That's why it's so miraculous. But because these microorganisms are extremely adept at swapping and sharing bits of their DNA, when one member becomes resistant, so does most of its population. Even more terrifying is this. This is out of Singularity Hub, by the way. Because the same family of antibiotics generally act on the same biological pathways, when bacteria generate a mutation that resists one type of drug, it often renders that entire family of drugs useless. The arms race with increasingly high rates of antibiotic resistance has forced scientists to think outside of the box. And although it was still a work in progress, teams of scientists are now working on a truly creative strategy. A pill carrying the genome editing power of CRISPR that instructs harmful bacteria to shred their own genes to bits. And we started talking about this yesterday. This is causing the bacteria that is invading to commit suicide, basically, is what they are talking about. But they are using the CRISPR-Cas9 technology to target certain sections of that bacteria that we have denoted in the little programmed phages that we're sticking inside of our Trojan horse to go kill this virulent bacteria. And this is a very frightening thing. This technology, once they figure out how to manipulate the genomes and kill certain bacteria by utilizing a CRISPR guide, they will then be able to take this to the next stage as they are sequencing the human genome. And I find it interesting that that same group of people that are talking about sequencing the human genome are the same group of people that are discussing how to create CRISPR pills in order to self-destruct antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Just remember, a lot of this funding is being funded by the war machine. And the war machine, always first and foremost, is about killing and, quote-unquote, keeping you safe. This is what's scary about this. But you're going to put something that can literally snip out sections of genes into your body. And even if it isn't targeted towards snipping out human genes, it's going after the invader. Who's to say that it's not going to go awry? Maybe you take some unique combination of supplements, or you eat a unique combination of foods that has certain vitamins and minerals in them. I don't know. That causes the, in this case, the E. coli that they are using as the CRISPR guide to go off kilter a little bit. So instead of snipping precisely, maybe it's one gene off, or maybe it's 10 genes off, or maybe it loses its sense of direction. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't know enough about bacteria to know how it navigates, though I did see something the other day about it having metals inside of it. They think they've discovered how it finds its direction. But it's very intriguing. I mean, start digging into it. It's microbiology is really starting to become my new red button issue, because it really kind of underlies a lot of these technologies that we've been talking about for so long. And they've gotten to a point now where things that they are manipulating inside of the human body are so complicated. Like right before the show, I was reading about the different bacterias and some of the different chemicals that they can produce within the gut of the body that then directly will affect the chemical composition of your brain. And it was very interesting, because there's even bacteria that'll interact together, two different types of bacteria that then produce chemicals that then interact with another type of bacteria that then causes it to produce another chemical that can directly affect your brain. So it's extremely complicated, but I actually found some connections here to why DARPA is messing with some of these bacillus bacteria, but we'll save that for another day once I dig a little bit more deeply. But anyway, so this CRISPR pill is originally going to be used to, of course, combat this global initiative we have now. It's not just here in the United States. They rolled it out globally to be able to cure pandemics that will be, in essence, gene editing inside of a living creature. Now, just like our immune systems can turn against ourselves, scientists are now hoping to give harmful bacteria a destructive autoimmune disease. Now, for anyone who suffered through any type of autoimmune dysfunction like I have, it's been about 20 years, all the way back to the days when I've been able to target those couple different things, an improperly treated streptococcal infection with strep throat way back when I was like 14, that caused a cascade of issues that weakened my immune system. And then a free flu shot that I received in college And I was living in the dorms, and I was walking through, and they had this big group. And they're like, come on, get your flu shots. You don't want to get each other sick. And I was like, oh, you know, that's a good idea. It's the first time ever I'd lived in a large group of people. And I was like, you know, that's a really good idea. And I got that flu shot. And do you know, for those last few years of school, I had lots and lots of issues. And they were telling me I had that chronic fatigue syndrome that, of course, is when that was first kind of ramping up. We find out later that the Gulf War vets that came back right around that same time in the late 80s, early 90s type time frame, that those Gulf War vets were and are diagnosed with some of the same symptoms. That's why I really think that it was something that was in those vaccinations. We tied it back to the adjuvants, looking at that squalene or something else that they were putting in there. I remember right now, we did lots of shows on that way back when. But, you know, being a person that suffered from a very slow degradation of their immune system then over the next decade or so, and then spent another decade trying to get myself back to where I used to be, it's a very slippery slope. When your body starts attacking itself for no reason whatsoever, you have all these things going on. We had then GMOs rolling out into the marketplace right back at the late 90s, mid to late 90s, found out about that Flavor Saver tomato. They first started flipping switches, yet the public was not notified. There were no advertisements talking about this new technology that had hit the market. And I am pretty damn certain that was right when I got my strange, weird tomato allergy, where I was head-to-toe hives every time I ate them. And that went on for quite a while, and then it stopped out of the blue, but they pulled them off the market, we found. So again, I'm finding some connections. The stuff I've researched in probably the last 5 years or so to things that I actually lived through. But I am pretty certain that they have been messing with our food. They've been messing with our vaccines. They've been messing with us for a long time. And now they are going to be messing with bacteria, attacking some of those same genetic pathways to create autoimmune diseases in order to kill it. It's very frightening. When optimized, and not only that, they're planning on doing it inside of you. When optimized, a CRISPR pill could have the ability to precisely target single strains of harmful bacteria while leaving other types, including your beneficial bacteria in your gut, intact. The slow and obsolete. First, the bad news. We are rapidly losing our war on microbugs. And remember, CRISPR is now a WMD, so we might be losing it even faster, come a rogue agent or a bioterror attack. And if these things don't change, we are heading into full throttle antibiotic apocalypse. So guys, they are pulling the apocalypse card on this one. Part of the bacterial survival prowess comes from their ability to rapidly multiply and under the right conditions, which is a damp, nutrition-packed human cell, for example. The common gut bug E. coli multiplies exponentially, doubling every 30 minutes. And this gives their DNA plenty of chance to mutate and for the species to adapt. And what is more, bacteria aren't stingy about sharing their DNA. Antibiotic-resistant genes are often carried on snippets of genetic material that float around in the bacteria's innards. Microbugs can literally extend a tube out to their neighbors to inject these genetic pieces, thus sharing their resistant genes farm-wide. Well, how interesting that E. coli can inject their compatriots while inside of your gut. Because we found out the other day that E. coli was the species that Georgie Porgy Church fully reprogrammed as a part of his experimentation. Radically rewritten bacterial genome unveiled. That was a project that George Church worked on, and that was on E. coli. Guys, I'm seeing some potential bioweapon development here. If they can infect an E. coli with some sort of bacterial phage that they programmed, use that E. coli to get inside of you. Because remember, E. coli is also naturally occurring in your gut. But then that E. coli can extend their little injectors out to other E. coli that may be the placid E. coli, I guess you'd call them, and turn them into a zombie bot army to infect you. That's a pretty frightening thought. And it doubles every 30 minutes in your gut and multiplies exponentially. What is more, bacteria aren't stingy about sharing their DNA. Antibiotic-resistant genes are often carried in snippets of genetic material. Floats around in the bacteria's innards, and microbugs can literally extend a tube out to their neighbors to inject these genetic pieces, thus sharing their resistant genes farm-wide. What is likely the most chilling demonstration of antibiotic resistance in action is that you can now watch, and there's a video embedded in this story, a strain of bacteria becoming impervious to increasingly higher doses of antibiotics, up to 1,000 times higher in just 11 days. Obviously, heaping larger and larger doses of drugs on already weak patients is not the solution. What we need isn't stronger drugs, but smarter drugs. In comes CRISPR. Most of our current antibiotics work in one of a few ways, and this would be the bacteria virus warfare. Interfering with the bacteria's DNA repair system, stopping the bacteria's ability to reproduce, or weakening the bacteria's cell wall, which is something that our cells don't have, until it explodes. And you know, like I said before, even though we might not have cell walls, we do have DNA. And if they're figuring out how to interfere with the bacteria's DNA repair system, that then gives them the keys of where to look in the human DNA repair system to find ways not only to cure it, but to self-destruct it. The downsides of antibiotics is that they are a sledgehammer that deplete and destroy the gut's microbial community, and we know that. You will want to instead use a scalpel like CRISPR in order to specifically eradicate the microbe of interest. Scientists have found that CRISPR systems don't cut the bacterial's own DNA under normal circumstances. When it does, the result is lethal. And it is spurred by an ingenious idea. Scientists use phages, ding, that is a virus that infects bacteria. Again, like I said, this is how we have tied it back to some of the experimentation that they are doing with the Insect Allies program, as well as genetic modification to make strains of plants resistant to different diseases by genetically modifying them. And they use phages to inject custom Trojan horses, ding-a-ling-a-ling, that trick the bacteria into cutting up their own genes. Now guys, this is really scary. Let's take this a step further. They are also now using CRISPR to mine the bacterial genome for hidden pharmaceutical treasures. Now remember, they were putting together the All of Us program, and that is the Check That Box program to give your DNA to science, even though it might not be identifiable to you, or so they tell you. They want to database at least 1 million individuals to be able to compare and contrast their DNA makeup, and then to target diseases where they can start developing pharmaceuticals to fix them at a DNA level. That there is a story that just came out yesterday about this new cancer treatment that is redefining how they treat cancer based on genetics, not the location of the cancer. They've been able to identify some genetic defect that apparently causes this cancer. It's now they are going after that genetic defect to cure the cancer. Well, now CRISPR is also going to be looking at the genes of bacteria, now that we have sequenced them all. And what they are finding is that there are all kinds of what they call silenced genes within these bacteria that we didn't know about before. These are the same sorts of genes within the human genome that they always considered up until the not-too-distant future, or not-too-distant past, I should say, as quote-unquote junk DNA, that they were encoded in our genome, but they weren't doing anything. They were turned off. Well, this is where some of that RNAi technology that we talked about extensively a year or two ago comes in. RNAi is the technology that allows them to turn some of these switches on and off to either interfere with a gene or to turn on a gene. Well, they are discovering how to manipulate these pathways now with CRISPR. In the fight against disease, many weapons in the medicinal arsenal have been plundered from bacteria themselves. Using CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology, researchers have now uncovered even more potential treasure hidden in silent genes. And this medical, medicinal arsenal of weapons that they have garnered from bacteria is some of the stuff that we were talking about yesterday is using bacteria as biofactories. And it's not just in the pharmacological realm. We talked about some of the synthetic vitamins that are produced within bacteria and algae and things of that nature, but also the Department of Energy utilizes bacteria. And I don't know if they have anything fungal, but I know I've seen bacterial stuff to produce like biofuels or to eat up like fuel spills and things of that nature. Well, now they are using some of these genes that they didn't know about before because they didn't do anything. Now that they know what they are, they are manipulating these silent genes to see what they do and what they can produce. Again, maybe new bioweapons. Who knows? A new study from researchers at the University of Illinois and their colleagues at the Agency for Science and Research in Singapore. So maybe the Singapore lab is the mad science offshore to do stuff that isn't quote-unquote sanctified in this country. They have used CRISPR technology to turn on unexpressed or silent gene clusters in streptomycines, which is a common class of bacteria that normally produce many compounds that have already been used in antibiotics, as well as anti-cancer agents and other drugs. The study, led by chemical and biomolecular engineer Professor Hunyin Zhao, was published in the journal Nature Chemical Biology. In the past, researchers just screened the natural products that bacteria made in the lab to search for new drugs. But once the whole bacterial genomes were sequenced, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, we realized that we have only discovered a very small fraction of the natural products that are coded in the bacterial genome. The vast majority of biosynthetic gene clusters are not expressed under laboratory conditions, or are expressed at very minute levels, so they don't even notice them, and that is why we call them silent. But there are a lot of new drugs and new knowledge waiting to be discovered from these silent gene clusters. They are truly hidden treasures. So put on a big-ass seatbelt, because here we go, guys. They just unlocked all kinds of biology that we didn't know about before. And they're going to turn it on developing new drugs to test on you through the 21st Century Cures Act. I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. There might be miraculous cures for everything that ails you. But what I'm saying is be careful, because a lot of this stuff we don't know anything about. Like you said, it's truly hidden treasures. We knew nothing about this stuff. And now we're going to start developing quote unquote therapeutics, living therapeutics, that they're going to try to get inside of you to mine for undiscovered genomic treasures. The researchers first used computational tools to identify the silent biosynthetic gene clusters, which is a small group of genes involved in making chemical products. They then used CRISPR technology to insert a strong promoter sequence before each gene that they wanted to activate, which then prompted the cell to make the natural products that the gene cluster coded for. Guys, again, they're discovering now how to take these quote-unquote junk or silence genes in bacteria and how to turn them on and how to get them to do stuff. Take a dotted line, over to the human genome. And that's where they're going to start turning on long-defunct superpowers that we might have coded in our genome. I'm telling you, this always has a double-edged sword. They're going to find ways to, like, increase intelligence and increase body strength. They're already doing that with animals over in places like China where they're building these CRISPR dogs, I think they are, for, like, drug dogs. They're making them big and bulky, and there were some of the pigs, I think, they started doing that too as well to make these huge muscular pigs that they're serving in the markets now. I was watching some cooking. Well, actually, it was what was that woman's name? I posted. By the way, we got all the feeds fixed. It was actually a mistake on this end. We made a change because we had a new show start on Wednesday night. And there was a little oops. There was a little bit of code that was pushed that hadn't been fully pushed to the server previously. And it broke our feed for the API to pull the archives. So it's all fixed now. I got to still replace my homepage and get it back to where that had been. But you should be able to access the archives. But my, I don't remember what I was talking about now. It got me off track. Wait a minute. Let's get back to my story. Maybe I'll remember. I don't know. Well, the website is fixed. Anyway, you can get my notes. Easy place there. I don't remember. Doesn't matter. Anyway, so they are creating... They were able now to take a look at these silence genes and figure out how to enable them. And they're doing the same thing in China where they're CRISPRing these pigs and these dogs. That's what I was talking about. And I came upon a woman yesterday, and I had put her in my feed. It should have pushed out to Twitter and out to the Before the First Cup page on UCY. But she had put out a couple videos. One was titled Mutant Menu. She's from Australia, I believe. And it goes in talking all about CRISPR food and doing designer DNA and whether or not you would CRISPR yourself. And she did a little documentary. It's about a half hour. It was actually extremely good. I was thinking about maybe messaging her and seeing if she would be interested in coming on the show. Her channel is called BrainCraft. And she actually has all kinds of great stuff out there. But one of the other little videos that she had done was about who actually owns your cells. And she was talking about not what we ended the show discussing yesterday, that once we start getting CRISPR to cure us and it starts manipulating maybe some of our own genetic content, are we going to have to pay licensing fees on those genetic changes that cured us? Are we going to have to pay for subscriptions to updates every time a new disease or a virus comes out to get our fix that will then alter our biochemical processes? She actually was discussing when you go to get some sort of medical procedure where you'll give blood or cell culture or something of that nature, who owns the leftover amounts of your biohazard material, of your biological material that wasn't needed for the test they ran on you? And it is surprising because guess what, people? Even though they might not put your name on it, or so they say, I don't always believe them on that. Your leftover material is able to be used as material for testing in laboratories. So wouldn't you love for them to turn something that you gave into a stem cell and then start creating some sort of cell line or germ line? They found out one woman, and that was the... aborted fetal tissue back in the 50s or the 60s that is now used in a lot of vaccinations. that one woman had no idea, and they never received any type of informed consent from this woman to utilize the cell tissue that they took from her. I'm sure there are probably lots more horrifying examples of that that we will never know about. But just be cautious. Anything that you give up to the machine belongs to the machine. And once we start allowing the machine inside of our person, do we ourselves, biologically speaking, become now owned to every cell by the machine? You know, that's a big ethical question. It's a big legal question as well. And she does talk about some of the legal and ethical issues with CRISPRing yourself as well. I wish I remembered her name. I don't know if I can even get to her channel. Hold on. We'll find out. Oh, Nessie. Vanessa Hill is her name. So check her out on YouTube. Actually, she had lots of good stuff. Like I said, I posted a few of her videos yesterday that fed out to my Twitter feed for Before the First Cup. It is twitter.com/Jewel, J-U-L-E, letter E, Stan, S-T-A-N, and the number one. All right. So we have all this antibiotic resistance going on. We have all these mad science gone mad cures that are evolving in laboratories. They are using CRISPR in all kinds of different ways. They are infecting bacteria to take DNA into a human host, potentially, to then go and attack the antibiotic resistant bacteria to then give it an autoimmune disease that essentially causes it to commit suicide. Well, guys, this is really moving very quickly, but we didn't know about this little program that has been going on since February by our favorite love to hate, DARPA. There's a project, February 6th, 2017, on their website, darpa.mil, called Removing the Viral Threat. And remember, this one is a virus. It doesn't happen to be an antibiotic-resistant bacteria, but we are talking about the same technologies utilizing biotechnology against something that ails us that then can help our immune system. Okay, it's all the same field of science. This is titled Removing the Viral Threat. 2 months to stop Pandemic X from taking hold. Now, you remember, DARPA has sponsored a whole bunch of what they call challenges. There was the robotics challenge, and we had Atlas, the big scary robot that will be coming to a disaster response near you someday. They also have Valkyrie, and that was the NASA challenge. NASA and DARPA, the yin and the yang. Then they had the CyberGrand challenge, and that was to develop the shape-shifting immune system for the internet to be able to protect us against the, oh, we are not safe on the internet, and the internet of things is fraught with holes. We better come up with a way to automate that back-ending to AI. There is a spectrum collaboration challenge that is finding a way now to take the radio frequency spectrum and utilize the back-end AI to be able to dynamically allocate radio frequency spectrum to whoever needs it, with first responders getting priority. And you will no longer have your licensing rights to your little slice of the pie. Well, now it looks like they are starting another type of grand challenge. And this is to challenge healthcare solution biotechnology developers with a 2-month window to stop hypothetical Pandemic X from taking hold within the population. Remember, CRISPR is a WMD, says Clapper. So now they better find a way to respond. Problem, reaction, solution. DARPA aims to develop an integrated end-to-end platform that uses nucleic acid sequences to halt the spread of viral infections in 60 days or less. Yes, shape-shifting immune system for the human condition. Over the past several years, DARPA-funded researchers have pioneered RNA vaccine technology, ding, a medical countermeasure against infectious diseases using coded genetic constructs to simulate production of viral proteins in the body, which then in turn can trigger a protective antibody response. And as a follow-on effort, DARPA funded researchers into genetic constructs that can directly stimulate productions of antibodies in the body. They are now launching a pandemic prevention program aimed at developing the foundational work into an entire system capable of halting the spread of any viral disease outbreak before it can ever escalate to pandemic status. If you guys remember, we had that Project BioShield that we had talked about that was enacted during the days of Bush, you know, after 9/11, with all of this new keeping you safe technology. Project BioShield was like a full-on write-off for the biotechnology companies in hope of creating some new untested product that they could then get the federal government to buy millions of doses to put in the strategic stockpile, all in the name of keeping America safe, just in case we had some unforeseen pandemic bioterror potential attack. Well, now we don't even have to plan for some unforeseen pandemic, because once they activated a federal emergency, Project BioShield went into effect, and even if those drugs weren't tested, they could be used. Well, now we don't have to worry about that. 21st Century Cures Act opens the door for clinical trials right off the bat without needing any of the rigorous approval process that they had needed in the past. Now DARPA is working on an entire system capable of halting the spread of any viral disease outbreak before, this is pre, it can ever escalate to pandemic status. So don't worry about it. Look, we got a little outbreak there, Johnny. Got to get your new system disease fighting injection or pill as a prophylaxis against ever coming down with it. And this is what they're going to do, guys. Now, this is pre-disease. We discovered they were already looking at pre-crime. They're being able to detect, you know, little micro expressions and micro movements that might give them a tip-off that you're a future thought criminal. Well, now they're going to be able to see little things in the environment that they will be monitoring with sensors could potentially tip them off to a potential pre-pandemic in the future that we can treat you against as well. Such capabilities would offer a stark contrast to the state-of-the-art for developing and deploying traditional vaccines, a process that does not deliver treatments to patients until months or even years or even decades after a viral threat emerges. Bigger, better, faster. DARPA's goal is to create a technology platform that can place a protective treatment into health providers' hands within 60 days of a pathogen being identified. Just identified. And have that treatment induce protection in patients within 30 days of administration. We need to be able to move at this speed, considering how quickly outbreaks can get out of control. And hey, again, 21st Century Cures Act allows this to happen. The technology needs to work on any viral disease, whether it is one humans have faced before or not. Now remember, we started reading about the CRISPR pill that'll go after viruses and eat them like Pac-Man yesterday, like Zika, like HIV, like herpes. Well, wait until you hear this. And Ebola. recent outbreaks of viral infectious diseases such as Zika, H1N1 influenza, and Ebola have cast into sharp relief that the inability of the global health system to rapidly contain the spread of a disease using the existing tools and procedures. So state-of-the-art medical countermeasures typically take months, even years, to develop, produce, distribute, and administer. These solutions often arrive too late, if at all, and in quantities too small to respond. Yeah, remember that immunotherapy that they used for Ebola, they only had a really small number. And they could only give it to a few people. It wasn't for you, Johnny, or you dying Africans. It was for the few select people that we picked and we brought to the United States to try it as a clinical trial. Well, again, problem, reaction, solution. Key to this undertaking are nucleic acid-based technologies. Those are ones that are centered on the DNA and RNA, including some developed under DARPA's ADEPT program, and that would be using these tools. Scientists can identify protective antibodies by recovering them from patients, and this is one of the technologies they actually used in Ebola, through a biological version of reverse engineering, and then manufacturing genetic constructs that, when delivered, can instruct a patient's body to produce similar protective antibodies. These are DNA and RNA vaccines, people. Significant quantities of these nucleic acid blueprints can be rapidly manufactured compared to state-of-the-art antibody production methods. DARPA-funded teams will be required to demonstrate that their integrated platforms will be in 5 simulations during the planned 4-year program. They will initially test their platforms using pathogens of their choice. But ultimately, they will test using DARPA-selected pathogens. Oh, that's great. Including 2 demonstrations in which the identity of the pathogen will remain opaque to the teams until the 60-day clock starts. They're going to have to fight a pathogen they don't even know what it is. Reminds me of chemistry class in junior high school. They would give us a big flask of some liquid and solid mixture and tell us that we had to do all kinds of tests on it to determine what chemicals were actually in our solution. We'd use the dip test with our Bunsen burner and little other dipsticks and things of that nature to try to figure out with like spectroscopy and that what potentially could be in it. Well, they're going to do it at a viral phase now. It's probably going to be some bioterror agent. This is pretty horrifying. And to ensure the developed platforms can produce a quality product with a viable pathway for regulatory review, and that would be fast-tracked, each team will require to complete a phase 1 clinical safety trial before the end of the program. The benefit of this nucleic acid approach to limiting the spread of infection is that the genetic constructs introduced into the body would be processed quickly. And thank goodness they are saying that it does not integrate into an individual's genome. Oh, that's comforting. Similarly, the antibodies produced in response to this treatment would only be present in the body for a few weeks to a few months. And this is consistent with DARPA's intent, which is to safely deliver transient immunity to a virus, halting the spread of disease by creating what they call firewall. What an interesting term. You know, and the thing is, are you going to find out 20 years later, oh, your liver has been holding on to this stuff, or it's been cultivating itself in your intestinal gut flora for 20 years and you've been shedding it? I mean, who knows? Guys, this stuff is so beyond new. I most certainly don't want to be one of the unlucky few that gets targeted for a mandatory inoculation because of a coming, quote unquote, pre-pandemic, to see what happens. Our country is asking our military service members to deploy globally. And this is where that global safety edict that was another executive order for us to be the ones that advance the global health security agenda comes in. Our country is asking our military service members to deploy globally to like places like Africa to go combat Ebola and provide humanitarian assistance in all manners of high-risk environments. We owe it to them to help develop the best possible protections available. If we are successful, DARPA could take a viral infection disease outbreaks off the table as a threat to U.S. troops and a driver of global instability. So, as we've been talking about all this stuff, another person that keeps coming up, a lot of these technologies that we have been talking about, is good old Elon Musk. You know, Elon Musk, one of his many different projects he's involved in is SpaceX. And this is to get a commercial space company off the ground. And he's been doing launches for NASA. He actually gets some funding from NASA. He's able to share some of the NASA employees. And he leases a NASA facility to do some of his testing. Well, check this out. Cambridge Company's experiment hitches a ride on Elon Musk's next space rocket. Elon Musk, SpaceX, plans to launch an unmanned rocket into space next week, and they did. That was in February of 2017. That will not only carry supplies for the International Space Station, but it also includes an experiment designed by a Cambridge company. The experiment by the company named NanoBioSim is a 20-employee diagnostic company based in Kendall Square that will test the effects of near-zero gravity on the bacteria that we more affectionately know as MRSA, a so-called superbug that wreaks havoc in hospitals because it is resistant to most antibiotics. And if I'm not mistaken, MRSA can be staph or strep infection that then goes awry and causes the so-called flesh-eating disease. And it is very difficult to treat. But one of the things that I've always been able to treat with would be take a look at nanosilver, colloidal silver, squirt a few squirts on there 5 or 6 times a day for a couple days, and you'll start seeing it go away. Or the other thing would be raw, pure honey. Try that as well. But don't worry about it, because we got CRISPR pills out there that are going to be figuring out ways to cause viral seppuku. We also have DARPA working on a way to stop Pandemic X from taking hold, whether it be bacterial or viral. They are focusing on viral, but I'm sure bacterial will be a part of some of their research. This project is being funded by a grant from the Massachusetts Life Sciences Center. And I bet somehow that has a dotted line, TTT, because it is in Boston, to the Weiss Institute of Biologically Inspired Engineering that then gets funding from DARPA. It is one of several research investigations that will hitch a ride on the SpaceX Dragon spacecraft, which was slated to launch from the NASA Kennedy Space Center in Florida. In an interview, NanoBioSim founder and CEO Dr. Anita Goel explains the hypothesis of the experiment. MRSA rapidly mutates, ding-a-ling, to become resistant to most antibiotics, and in a microgravity environment like in space at the space station, the mutations may speed up. So it means we can make it even more virulent up on the space station. It's amazing. DARPA has a challenge going on right now, giving them 2 months to stop a pandemic X from taking hold. And we are sending up MRSA, that's already considered a quote-unquote superbug, to make it now a super duper bacterial resistant bug. By tracking how these bugs change in space and comparing these findings to an identical study on Earth, oh my God, we are making bioweapons. She said that scientists can get a sneak preview of how MRSA will mutate in the future and design antibiotics that, yes, can stay one step ahead. Yeah, tell me these aren't all connected. The rocket launch marked the 10th mission for SpaceX under a NASA contract to carry supplies, hardware, and scientific research to the crew at the space station. Ding, ding, told ya. Musk is working directly with NASA. Other projects on board the rocket will include an experiment to test muscle contractions in zero gravity and an instrument to measure ozone in the Earth's atmosphere. Yeah, I saw a couple things about NASA scientists saying that our ozone is in big trouble. We always knew it was, but like way bigger trouble than they let us on to believe. Space science is a great melting pot, they said. There are all kinds of fields and projects coming together that are taking the advantage of working on the space station and pushing the frontier of human knowledge. Yes, creating a new superbug that is more super than anything we have ever seen on Earth is probably a good use of your tax dollar. What do we do with it once we create it? How do we destroy it? How do we kill it? And what if it gets loose on Earth? Don't worry about it. DARPA's got a plan. It's called Pandemic X. And it's going to be you that will be the guinea pig. All right, guys, make sure you stick around because believe it or not, it is already Thursday. All kinds of live radio. We have Lonnie Clark live up next. And then we have Ron Game On. 7 p.m. Eastern. We have Hal Anthony's This Week Show at 8, at 9, 10. We have Anti-Media Radio with SM Gibson. They should be live at 11. JKDC.